All right. And Ian Trottier for Discussions of Truth. And it seems that truth is simply a hard thing to come by. Doesn't it seem that way to you? It seems that way to me. Finding solid, accurate, honest truth is a task. And again, I began doing what I do in 2016 in Miami Beach because of the misinformation being flown around like a wind in a hurricane surrounding the Zika virus and the pesticide being used called Dibrom. Nalid, Dibrom, interchangeable. Trade names for this neurotoxin, a neurotoxic, a pesticide that is known to cause neurological damage and therefore banned by the European Union. But oh, that didn't stop Rick Scott, didn't stop the CDC, and it didn't stop the mayor of Miami-Dade or Miami Beach spraying this toxic poison over their populations. So, little me, I began to speak out. And I started the program on Wynwood Radio. And here I am, and here we are. And folks, this is the most important thing that anyone can do, regardless of how you are listening to this right now, hearing my voice. What you can do, the most important thing you can do wherever you are, is speak out. Speak out. Speak out against corruption. Speak out against big pharma. Against big oil. Against big banks. Power. Speak out against it. If it is doing wrong, if there is corruption, and there's plenty of that. And like I said, it seems to be incredibly hard, doesn't it, folks? It seems to be incredibly hard to find honesty, to find truth. And therefore, the label of this program has stuck, Discussions of Truth. And it's not a title I gave it. I didn't give this program the title, Discussion of Truth. It's not my inception. It's not my inception. I'd probably call it the Seek and Destroy show, or Drop a Bomb on Corruption show. But I've allowed the program to remain titled Discussions of Truth. A lot going on, and you know, I was just sent a link to an Epoch Times publication that the National Guard in Massachusetts, the National Guard, has been called and deployed because there aren't enough bus drivers to take kids to school. So for some reason, the governor of Massachusetts decided that the National Guard, according to the Epoch Times, or Epoch Times, I call it the Epoch Times, you know, it's the kind of quasi-anti-communist Chinese media outlet. They're massive. If you haven't heard of Epoch Times, you should familiarize yourself with the Epoch Times. They're a massive media source. And again, I'm not entirely sure. I haven't cross-checked. I haven't looked at the governor's site. I haven't called the governor of Massachusetts to see that this is accurate information. But it seems that the Massachusetts National Guard has been called out to be a substitute bus driver to get kids to school. Like 250 National Guard members are now called in Massachusetts to take children to school. This is just mind-blowing, folks. I mean, the tyranny, or the possibility of a tyrannical measure and step is so blatant the misuse of power. I call that a misuse of power. These are National Guard that are trained to defend the state of Massachusetts. Now they're called to take kids to school? I mean, what's going to happen next? They're going to be called to forcibly vaccinate kids at school without parents' consent, because this is already happening. No, not in every state and not in every country, but it is happening, my understanding, in parts of Canada. Isn't it happening in California? I mean, I've got to cross-reference my stuff. I've got a 9-to-5, so I can't keep up with this stuff all the time. But I know that it is happening. I believe it's happening in California. Let's hope Larry Elder can take Gavin Newsom out of the seat. And it's not necessarily Gavin Newsom himself that needs to be removed. Okay, it's the strings above Gavin Newsom that need to be frayed. Just like the strings above Joe Biden that need to be frayed. I mean, hey, Joe, you know, you're not allowed to take, or you're being told when you can and can't take questions from the media? I mean, that's happened a few times where he's alluded to that, that it's out of his power. Out of his power. Hey, man, hey, just sign off an executive order. Right? Because he knows how to do those. Well, I mean, hey, it's not that Trump didn't. Not that Obama didn't. It's not that is not in itself a complete and total misuse of power. The executive order has become one of the most tyrannical power outlets for any one individual politician in the United States. And that's still the whole problem. Yeah, but the problem is that the other branches are either weak and or infiltrated themselves. I'll call it infiltrated. The United States is infiltrated by a foreign enemy. Make no mistake about it. Okay, and a lot of people will say, oh, it's the Chinese have infiltrated. It's not the Chinese. In my view, the Chinese are subjugated to the same system the United States government is subjugated to, and that is a hidden private financial institution called the Central Bank. 1945 was the Chinese, a result of World War II. This has been a methodical economic takeover of the entire planet. Who, folks? Who? Who? What organization? What institution would have the ability to do that type of thing? Well, look at who is typically neutral in the past 200 years. Who has been neutral? 150. Who has been neutral in wars? The Swiss. Switzerland, yes. Well, why is it? How did Switzerland come to be? How did that country come into being? Who controls the banks in Switzerland? Well, that's the old cliche phrase, isn't it? All roads lead to Rome. So how much of you take the white pope, you take the black pope, and you take the gray pope? Those, the trilateral, oh my gosh. So right now we're going down all these different things. The Trilateral Commission. Is that the real Trilateral Commission? Because the Trilateral Commission developed by David Rockefeller isn't in itself one institution or another based in New York, isn't it? And they're subservient to the Rothschild. Just like the Council on Foreign Relations. Well, who controls the media in the United States? Ian? Well, the Council on Foreign Relations. Why not look at the Council on Foreign Relations, the CFR? Why not look at the CFR? The Council on Foreign Relations. Today, we're bringing in two amazing guests. Now, I have to tell you right off the bat that the Wi-Fi has been shoddy where I'm at, and it is not something reliable, not something I'm relying on. So, you know, the bandwidth is not very good. So what I may have to do, if you are listening to this live, I apologize, but what I may have to do with my two guests that are lined up, I may simply have to run them to a phone call. Okay, and if I have to do that, and that is to save you from listening to the interviews and the discussions going in and out. That makes sense. The bandwidth is shoddy. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to try to run live here. Well, I am running live, but I'm going to run video with the two guests via Skype and see where we go with that. But again, if that doesn't succeed, I'm going to simply, and especially with the second guest, I'll simply run to an audio format only. And that's because the Wi-Fi has been shoddy, to give that definition again. So, joining us first is a woman now that has joined the program, I believe, three times. This would be Ilana's third time joining the show. Okay. And by the way, David Cereda is another researcher that I've reached out to recently. He'll be rejoining the program. Because folks, you have to take it to the next level. You just simply do. Okay? You have to take it to the next level. You have to start thinking about the bigger picture. Okay? What does that mean? What does the bigger picture mean? Well, the bigger picture means why is it that we look up in the sky and now we see these chemtrails? Well, what the heck are these things? Well, that's why I'm bringing on the second guest, or the first guest, rather. That's why I'm bringing Ilana Freeland back on the program, because she is so in tune with what's happening to our skies. So now you're bringing in, okay, why is it that a computer engineer, computer scientist, Bill Gates, wants everybody on the planet vaccinated? What does he care? Yeah, what does he care? He cares about his money. That's what he cares about. And he cares about dominating you. And he cares about computers. So how does that equate? How does a vaccine equate to how does a vaccine? We're going to bring on Ilana right now. But how does a vaccine? And the other thing is this: I may have to just simply do audio with Ilana because I don't know that the video hasn't. She may not be able to hear me. So, but Ilana, this is how this is all going to happen. This is how this is going to take place. This is not somebody I'm waiting. I've got somebody calling in right now. I do not want this person. We are going to be speaking to this person today. Okay, Ilana Freeland is the first guest. The second guest is Joe Kent. Right, he's a political. I think he's a former Navy SEAL, some type of a special force. I'm sorry, I haven't done the background on, but he'll be the second guest of the show. And let's bring on Ilana right now, because I know she's standing by. Ilana Freeland, ladies and gentlemen, Ilana Freeland. Ilana Freeland, and you can find her website at
Ian?
Ilana, hello, how are you?
Great. Turn your video on. Okay.
Good. Do you see me?
Yes.
Okay, fantastic. It's nice to see you. I don't think this is the third time that you've joined the Discussions of Truth, right?
Yeah.
And we haven't done a video call yet, but so far it is successful. Sometimes the video doesn't work on my end. So I'm glad it is successful. Let's get, we are live on my sites right now, but let's get a video going here. So we'll record this video. Let's see, where did I get the, where is this record button for Skype here? Audio, let's see here.
Like to the left, do you have yours to the left in the bottom?
Oh, there it is. Yes. Good. Very good. Let's see that this works. I think we're good. Ilana, welcome back to the show. It's great to have you. You've been busy with your with the installment of your Deep State series. Tell listeners a little bit more about what you've been working on.
Well, for 2.5 years, I can't believe it's that long, I've been researching and writing the third geoengineering book in my trilogy series. And the first one was in 2014. Oh, you just disappeared. Can you hear me?
I can hear you, yes. Okay, there we go. Yes, I hear you.
All right. You good?
Yeah.
So the 2014 book was Chemtrails, Harp, and the Full Spectrum Dominance of Planet Earth, where I was learning exactly how it was set up to control the ionosphere. That was the number one name of the game in that book. And then that gave birth to a whole other bunch of questions about how this was going to be used, all this sudden ionized atmospheric energy for wireless operations. I knew the military was extremely excited about this. And so then I began the second book, and that came out in 2018, and that's Under an Ionized Sky, From Chemtrails to Space Fence Lockdown. Then that in turn, because of the biologicals in what was coming down and the nanotechnology that was coming down, and we were breathing it. I already knew that. It's in our bodies. It's not being passed out through our urine and feces. It's here. And the nanobots is a nano-sized robot. A nano is 1/1,000,000,000th of a meter. You can't see them. Neither can you see the wireless technology. You can't see the 5G millimeter waves. You can't see the 6G terahertz waves. So everything's invisible. And yet we are paying the price and have been for 2 decades. They were trying to tell us that geoengineering was something that they might have to do, but they weren't sure, when really the truth was that it had been going on for over 2 decades by the time I came out with the second book. So this book has a long title, but you will know what it's about. It's called Geoengineered Transhumanism: How the Environment Has Been Weaponized by Chemicals, Electromagnetics, and Nanotechnology for Synthetic Biology. And this is the book in which I connect the fact that the epigenetic transformation of the environment into a weapon, not just an electromagnetic weapon, but a chemical weapon, a biological weapon, a biowarfare weapon, connects to what we have just gone through for a year and a half. And now, unfortunately, some people are buying into it for the wrong reason. And I wanted to clarify so that you have the big picture of how this is being done and how it's been planned for, I would say 100 years. Everybody has their own guesstimate. I go back to the League of Nations when it failed under President Wilson. And the elites, the global elites' determination to then have the UN, United Nations. And that instrument kind of got a flaky beginning and has been pretty flaky along. And we've been aware of its globalist objectives and very cautious of it, despite the fact that it's in New York City. And now we have a huge move, which is began 19 years after 9/11, when we began to feel it coming down on us in the name of terrorism. So in this book, which is now, I finished writing it, I finished editing it, it's been proofread, it's with the formatter. And, you know, I left Farrell House, the publisher of the first two books, did a great job on it, I have to say. But I have gone on my own now. So I am publishing this book so that I can make a little bit more money per book and I can control the translation rights, et cetera. So I'm very excited about this. I can't believe it was 2.5 years, but you realize 1.5 of those years was me glued to my computer, listening to all the fantastic doctors and PhDs and researchers coming forward against the mainstream media. Of course, I don't own a television, never have, never will. And neither do I own a cell phone, neither, never have, never will. So, you know, glued to my computer, finding out what the truth is, and writing it in the context of a very large picture of the environment and how this has been purposely done, all the way from pollution to today. It's all purposely done for the sake of taking the human being and changing the human being from human 1.0 into human 2.0, leaving nature behind and becoming a silicon controlled slave class, which I am absolutely opposed to.
Okay, sorry, I've got somebody ringing in here. Just delete that. And I like, Alana, I like how you said the silicon Slave class, because that's exactly what this is. And you are one of the very intense, and I've had a lot of great researchers on the show, but what you're doing really takes it to the next level, whereas what you're talking about here, it really gives your research gives a very broad and bigger picture. Let me insert this question. I like how you went back to the UN and the League of Nations, and you're saying 100 years. And certainly from a banking standpoint, we can see where in the United States so many of our rights were just immediately began to be attacked with that Federal Reserve Bank, which is a private bank and controls the CFR, which the Council on Foreign Relations, which is controlling our media. You're talking about these, not to skip around too much, and I'll come back, but you're talking about the MDs and these very well-educated JDs who are speaking out and censored. I just had somebody ask me about Dr. Tenpenny, Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, who's a former guest on the program, and she's been censored by Instagram and Twitter and other social media, I'm assuming, but certainly those two social media outlets. So let's get into this question, Alana, before we get into the nuts and bolts of what you've researched. And I thank you for coming onto the show about 6 months ago. Alana, where is this coming from? And I think a lot of people are going to say, well, wait a second, where's the technology in itself coming from? Is the technology coming from a human standpoint, or is this coming from something outside? Which is a very difficult question to ask, meaning extraterrestrial, which I don't go into. Because some of these things are hard to explain and difficult to explain, but where's the technology advancement coming from in your research and from what you've seen, Alana?
Well, it's this geoengineering secret space program. Catherine Austin Fitz is the one who gave me that term several years ago. She's an investment analyst, and she's just terrific on that because she can follow the money. And the money that she followed was the $21 trillion missing. Nobody knew where it was from the American budget. So she did some math and she did some studies, and at that time she wrote a great book review of my second book, and she came up with, yes, it's the secret space program, and what she and others call the breakaway civilization. And what that means is, imagine the globalists were, all the way back to the League of Nations failure. They are very wealthy. They have a lot of power. They move things through their dynastic families and carefully chosen minions who serve them for very large rewards. And those who are not simply controlled by rewards can be threatened and blackmailed by pedophile pictures, drugs, whatever. And so, these people have carefully controlled their power in the West. I'll just speak of the West because I know that best. And now they have come back around with a tremendous technology gained through a very low-key space program, very different from the one President Kennedy had in mind. In fact, I would go so far as to say that once they got him out of the way, then they could do the space program they wanted to, which was very bold, very against all the treaties that we had signed regarding war in space. And from that space program, they realized that they had to control the Earth. They had to have what I called the first book, full spectrum dominance. And I always quote Kardashev. I'm going to grab it here.
Okay.
Kardashev was an astrophysicist in Russia, and he came up with a three-part control schedule, you might call it, that any civilization aspiring to control over the solar system and eventually the galaxy, believe it or not, and gee whiz, let's just throw in the universe too. The three are the full spectrum dominance over one's planet, control over one's star, which would be our sun and its systems, and control over the galaxy and its systems. So believe it or not, I mean, it's just hard for us mere mortals on the ground who don't own all this fancy equipment and don't have lots of money in Deutsche Bank and other places to imagine that you could actually have plans, not just dreams, but plans for controlling the planet and the solar system and the sun. So that's kind of where we are. They're working on all three. And in the first 100 pages of this latest book, I lay out how they're doing that. I want people to know that I'm not just going on a fishing expedition into a lot of bizarre ideas.
And for people, go ahead. Yeah, go ahead, Alana.
Well, just that Kardashev's format, we see the full spectrum dominance if we choose to look. Now, that is a doctrine of the military. I didn't make that term up. And it looks to me like, gee whiz, I think that's pretty much almost done. And in an electromagnetic way, in a chemical way, and in a nanotechnology way, the only thing they needed to do was to not just plug us into the Internet of Things and the smart grid, but to actually plug our genetics in to a new type of human being. And that, in my opinion, is what this gene therapy called a inappropriately called a vaccination is really about. And that's unfortunate, because a lot of people have been swept up in the fear of a virus and the completely incorrect idea of how disease really works, which has been carefully culled and propagandized by the medical industry run in America by the American Medical Association, Big Pharma internationally. And they have convinced everyone that germs, bacteria, and virus cause disease, which is not at all true. Now, I studied Chinese medicine for 6 years when I was in my 20s. I thought I was going to be one of those kinds of doctors. And then my life took a pretty big left turn. And so I still use it, absolutely. And so I have no medical record from the back to when I'm 13. I'm 74 now. I follow a regime which keeps me very healthy, no joint aches, no nothing that they say happens when you get old. That's all baloney. And we have a medical industry that is completely rogue and completely out of control. And so that's another thing I try to do in the book, is to guide people back to what their health can be, and that you can't possibly do the kind of concentration, mental thinking, and activism that you would like to for your country, for your family, for your grandchildren, if you don't have your health, if you're constantly running off to doctors and you're buying into the program of sickness is good and we will just take care of those symptoms and then we'll give you a whole host of other symptoms, that fears in order to get this out. Yeah, a manual, a handbook, I don't know, write a bunch of notes, you know, argue with me, bring something better than I brought. We need to really take self-responsibility now, because being human is not necessarily about having two arms, two legs, and a head. It could be that we're already looking at people who are no longer human.
Yeah, and I like how you said that. There is actually a right off the coast of Florida and the Bahamas, there is a human cloning factory. And, of course, we know there's doubles, and how much of these doubles are actually human beings. How does, I want you to answer the vaccine question, Alana. I want you to go into that for listeners so that they understand what this quasi, it's not a vaccine. We know that by definition, it's not a vaccine. It's an injection. It's an inoculation. But go in, before you do that, I want you to bring in the silicone. How does silicone, of course, is a form of retaining memory, right? Similar to the human brain retains memory. How does silicone equate into all of this? And then I want you to answer that vaccine question, if you would, Alana.
Right. And during the vaccine question, they completely stopped my screen. So I'll pretend like I know what your question was, because I think I do. All right. So when I use the word silicon, it's because people are familiar with it and they know it has to do with computers. The truth is that, and I'm sure you've read about this, that they're now going to be using DNA as computers. So not only can they gain of function, very important term, we all need to learn what it means. That basically means to weaponize something that is quite benign, like virus, bacteria, germs, as so-called. All of these things are simply nanoparticles in the body of waste that is collecting in the immune system. Everything pulls together. Let's get rid of this, guys. Get this out of the cell. This is no good. And instead, the people who are now injecting millions have put together a genetic change of the body, and it also has in it, in my opinion, not variants that are sort of spawning on their own, that's nonsense, but they have a variety of experimental forms that are coming in with the mRNA vaccines that will then go dormant, other than getting the antibodies going and getting those spike proteins produced, which then take over everywhere in the body. Unbelievable. I can't even look at pictures of it. And that instead of that, we could be having, instead of our immune system assaulted and bypassed, we could be utilizing our immune system by keeping our bodies healthy, and that's super, super important, because this is not a vaccine. It is not even behaving like the vaccine of yesteryear, but they're using the term because people are familiar with it, and not too many people have died from vaccines in the past, or at least people don't know they have, and so they're using the wrong term to get into the body some diseases that can then be whistled up, triggered by 5G, 6G systems once they flip that switch. And when we saw those scenes in Wuhan, those staged scenes, that was what we were looking at, was when they flipped the 5G, 6G switches, and we saw these people flattening to the earth, going down. The idea that, why would they have wanted us to see that? I mean, that would be the first thing a lot of people would say, because they had the cameras there, it went all over the world. It was scary beyond belief to see that, much like the Twin Towers when they were brought down, they played that over and over and over. John Kennedy's assassination in good CIA style, they played that one on the TVs over and over and over. Okay, so they wanted us to see what happened in Wuhan. And in a way, those cytokine storms that they gave us a picture of, when suddenly your blood is coagulating and you're basically going to be flatlining and going down, That was all to indicate that, to give us an idea of what was coming, I feel, because the Satanist, the satanic way of looking at life, and I have to bring this in, even though most people just ha ha ha, that's about Halloween. No, it's about a lot more than that. I'm a big fan of looking at the dark side so that it doesn't eat you. And so for years, I've studied how these Satanists work, and we're seeing them in full-blown technicolor now, out and about with this whole plandemic that we've been undergoing for a year and a half. I'm able to see them better than I've ever been able to see them. And one of the tenets of the dark side, the occult dark side, is that you tell the victim, you give the victim the picture of what you're going to do to them, so that then that can quicken the fear in those who are fearful. Those who are knowledgeable of how occultism works have also been given a bit of a leg up so that they can start paying attention to a whole new way of presentation that's coming right after this. And that's how I see that Wuhan scene. So I start the book out with Wuhan. But what we saw in New York, Northern Italy, et cetera, those were all different. And we have to realize that this is experimental. A lot of batches have been made, a lot of batches, each geomagnetic area, in my opinion, will receive a different batch so that they can follow what is going on. Most recently, we saw that we were told about some very important things that are in the vaccine that make us magnetic. So the graphene oxide is exceedingly important, as is the hydrogel that it sits in. The hydrogel holds it. It's sort of like a glue. It's like a matrix, and the graphene oxide slides into the body through the needle, and then begins to replicate. And it is highly conductive. It's considered extraordinarily magical in certain ways. And so when people are seeing how, by coming into a room, that various Bluetooth technologies are suddenly flipping on and giving certain numbers on their monitors. Yes, this is why the graphene oxide has multiple purposes in the so-called vaccine, and one of them certainly is targeting, tracking, and conductivity, because the slaves of the transhumanist way of looking at slavery will be completely controlled remotely, and can be reprogrammed remotely as well. And all of this will happen without them even knowing it's going on, other than that they're going to have a variety of illnesses. And this is the sad part. The illnesses will go all the way from symptoms to absolute shutdown of the immune system. And the immune system, to me, is literally the holy of holies in the body. And the body is a holy of holy for the living human spirit. And so for me, I'm a student of Rudolf Steiner for many years. It was a few doctors at the beginning, Tom Cowan and Dietrich Klinghardt, both doctors, who immediately quoted Rudolf Steiner 100 years ago, saying that one day there would come a vaccine that, if you took it, you would no longer think of spiritual things. And I'm afraid this might be it. I don't know. I haven't talked to that many people on that level at this point, but I certainly hope not, because human beings are not slabs of meat. They are not, as the CIA calls us, wetware, as in software, hardware, and wetware. Human beings, even if their DNA is antenna-like and their cells are very prone to acting like small computers, despite that, the human being is an extraordinary being involved in divine evolution for many millions of years. And I do not want that to end. And I do not want an elite class running humans like slaves, like we've seen in some of the old sci-fi movies. And that's why I work so hard.
You mentioned Catherine Austin Fitz, and for listeners that are not, or viewers are not familiar with who that is, she has a degree from Wharton, University of Pennsylvania. She's a former economic advisor, I believe, for Reagan. And
no,
Ilana,
it was George H.W. Bush.
Was it Bush?
Yeah.
And Catherine is about last April. I guess it's been 2 years ago. I'm not sure when this. I'm getting confused as to the timeline of when this virus broke out. And you know that the work I do is based off of the Zika virus of Miami Beach. That's why I started doing this program. And it was Catherine Austin Fitz that really kind of broke down what you're just talking about, the programming aspect, the economic programming aspect. So very wise. Nice to know that you're working with her. Are you familiar with the work of Patrick Wood by chance?
Yes, he was at the conference that I too spoke at in Tucson, Arizona this past summer. It was good to meet him. Yes, he was there.
So if we pull back and I suggest listeners do this and that'll give them an idea of the air that we're breathing and the technology that exists, these kind of nanoparticles that can enter the lungs, enter the bloodstream system and break the blood-brain barrier, simply searching in a public search engine, Qualcomm, DARPA, and MIT shows a 2016 study, this is 5 years old now, of that type of technology being produced. What's the difference between these inoculations and what's happening in our ionosphere? What are the two different? What's the main difference for listeners to understand?
Well, the ionosphere is, as the U.S. Air Force has admitted back in 2013 at a before the Alaskan Congress, regarding how they seem to pass over HAARP, the high frequency Active Auroral Research Project, pass it over to the University of Alaska at Fairbanks. That was true. It was shut down, but it was recalibrated and is very much still with us because it is a highly extraordinary weapon system straight out of Tesla. So when they did that with HAARP, the Air Force admitted, yes, we had great success with all our experiments with HAARP. We're gonna mothball it now, maybe take it apart and shelve it. But now we absolutely control the ionosphere. They were very clear in front of the Congress. Yes, that's what they have done. So they are able to use the ionospheric heaters. HAARP was not the only one. It was just the most powerful. There are many now that are mobile, smaller, and they are fully functional and can be used as weapon systems regarding the weather. They can create, they're involved in low and high pressure areas. They're involved in the formation of storms, of not just earthquakes with the tomography, but they are just extraordinary with the weather. But they are also able to target through something called interferometry whole areas, whole regions of countries, neighborhoods, individuals. You know, the ionospheric heater is just an extraordinary capability. But the atmosphere, so we control the atmosphere. Problem is, they still need a lot of particulate matter in the atmosphere. You can't send waves like from like millimeter waves or terahertz waves or whatever through a vacuum. You got to have matter there. You've got to have some stuff. And that's what the trails that are still going on are all about. They therefore, because they're necessary, early on they decided to use them as an experimental theater themselves and see what happens. So at first it was, as you know, from the early days of people following geoengineering like me, that was barium, strontium, aluminum, chromium. We were finding all this in rainwater. We were collecting precipitates, and then they were adding biologicals because, you know, some places like up here in Washington State where I live, a small town was just pelted with erythrocytes, with red blood cells, and glommy-looking, gooey stuff. So a lot of things are coming down on us that we are breathing, that, as you said, eventually end up going past the blood-brain barrier into the brain. All of this is not just simply, oh, pollution, they're not, you know, they're after profits. No. This is very much as if the earth were a big beaker in a lab. And many things are being tried with chemicals and with nanotechnology and electromagnetism. I mean, they've got it all. And that's what's going on right now, and that's why they've been able to push for the human 2.0. They finally have the technology. They just need to get it into us, and they needed first to prepare the environment to bring us into it so that the environment would be their weapon as well, and we would be plugged into that environment, and they could manipulate the environment. That's what epigenetics means. And then they can use our DNA as antennas for even more wireless operations that have to do with us. They can store data in DNA. To them, we are simply energy units. That's why they don't care about us except as energy units. And we need to get that through our head. This is not the days of the king who loves his people. This is artificial intelligence and a lot of movers and shakers at the top who have very big plans that don't include a warm, compassionate, creative human being, unless it's in their own family, of course.
This is great, and I want you to talk about the projected. Many well-credentialed MDs are talking about their fears based off of their research and science that they know to see a forthcoming mass die-off. This is what people like Dr. Brian Artis in Texas is projecting. But before you talk about that, Ilana, if you would, I want to mention this. You met with John F. Kennedy as a young scholar, as a high school student, I think it was. You can correct me. What did and by the way, Ilana, you and I have been speaking off and on now for it's probably been 3 years. About once a year, you joined the program, something like that, 2.5 years. I recently met someone who was actually as a 13, 12 or 13-year-old was in Dealey Plaza the day the president lost his life. She basically saw the act happen as a very young woman. This is somebody that I befriended, and I want listeners to understand that you yourself have a nice story about. I believe the president had some nice things to say about you. Will you speak about that very briefly, and then also talk about what you think he knew was going on, if it piggybacks off of what Eisenhower was talking about, the military-industrial complex, and then get into anything you may know for listeners to understand about a possible mass die-off coming.
Thanks for asking. I mean, I am so thrilled that I was able to, in a way, brush shoulders with probably the last real president we had before Mr. Trump. And, you know, I consider Mr. Trump to have been a wild card from the deck that suddenly appeared out of nowhere. And certainly his friendship with John F. Kennedy Jr. was very real and very close, which is quite interesting to me. Plus, President Trump's uncle was John Trump, who was a physicist, and he was the man who actually controlled all of Tesla's things when the FBI killed Tesla. All right, so that's another political story, but has to do with the science of our day. For me, at 16, I was elected to Girls State, where it's a mock state government for girls that civic leaders, high school teachers, whoever thinks a couple of girls per year might profit from for their future. So I was sent to Girls State. At Girls State, I became the campaign manager for my party, and we won by a landslide, and so I was a hero. And I was elected to go to Girls Nation in Washington, D.C. So in Washington, D.C., that was in 1963, John Kennedy was president, Lyndon Baines Johnson was vice president, etc. I was elected there to be the librarian of Congress, which I thought was, you know, as an adult, I thought, wow, that was so appropriate because I am just a knowledge freak. I am a historian by training, and I love research. I love it. I love learning things. So anyway, when we got to almost the last day there, we had a tea with President Kennedy in the Rose Garden. Now, Bill Clinton was there, too, because I heard him refer to it several times, that he had been in the Rose Garden with Kennedy and that he had been at Boys Nation in 1963. So he was there, and they were taking lots of photo ops of him. He was already being groomed for the presidency, I saw in retrospect. But I didn't know him, and I don't know him to this day. So, all right, so we're in the Rose Garden, and he's speaking. Jacqueline Kennedy is not there because she's giving birth to Patrick, who, if you remember, did not live. President Kennedy was probably concerned, but very gracious host. And at one point, I was on the edge of the group, and we were all listening to him, or we had finished. And he spoke up, and he said that this young lady here reminds me of my wife. And at that time, I looked a lot like Jackie Kennedy, because of the dark hair and square jaw and things. But I was then brought to by his side, and then a few photo ops were taken that went back to my home state. I was, you know, had my 5 minutes of fame there. And then when I got back to my state, I was asked by the civic groups that had paid for my trip to come and speak about my time with Kennedy. So I did that. And then, unfortunately, 3 months later, he was shot down in Dallas, and I was invited back to speak again. And this time, it was a matter of speaking to rooms full of sobbing Americans. It's hard to imagine that we were so, I get choked up, because we were so naive then. We were so innocent. We were so just, had no idea of what he was facing with Alan Dulles, who had brought all the paperclip Nazis into America and scrubbed their records and given them carte blanche at all our bases, all of our universities, our hospitals. I mean, you know, the Dulles brothers, I have no love for. So he was going to be killed in 3 months, and it was really quite a wonderful opportunity because I came awake. I came awake politically through that. I had been absolutely asleep. And then, of course, I'm a 60s person. I joined the 60s when Martin Luther King was killed. We went through so much. And when Bobby Kennedy, etc. You see how it was for my coming of age. So it's no wonder that I'm still going, is it? I mean, it's not miraculous at all. All right, let me speak to the diseases that are to be loosed. Yes, it is true. I'm sure it was their intention to, yes, run experiments, but to piggyback because they've been piggybacking infants' vaccines with all manner of things, including to develop autism in children. Because think about it, autistic children will be much easier to control by AI systems. So how brutal and how heartless are these people? I don't even know if they're human anymore. I really don't. I don't know if they're all run by AI programs, these leaders, these globalists. I can only imagine that, but I know one thing. We're already in the cyborg era. It is not a future tense thing. We're already in it. And there are people, you will be meeting people, I am certain of it, who probably will not be alive long if there are the intention is for their batch to be activated. As I told you, they've spread these out through the world in batches. And you will be meeting people who are not fully human anymore. You really need to look at what being human is. It's not a not just a biological thing. There is much more to being human, because these are the temples of the living spirit. We are the spirit. They want to be as gods on the earth. They want to run everything here. This is their planet, etc. So I am here to resist, and this is my watch. I've said it many times, and you know, I invite everybody to join me, because this is all hands on deck.
Yeah, this is really stepped up a lot, big time. I didn't see this happening from the epidemic I experienced in Miami Beach to 4 years later, or 3.5 years later, a pandemic, a global effort. These folks are, they're playing, you know, the big leagues now. They mean business, and things are stepping up to the plate. Their big hitters are stepping up to the plate. To use that analogy, I've got to wind down here, Alana. As we wind down, I want you to tell listeners where they can purchase your book. But before you answer that question, before you talk about where they can find your book, I want you to please talk about being the resistance. You've spoken a little bit about it as far as saying your health and your immune system and your spiritual health as well, not just the physical health. But as listeners resonate, as these words resonate with listeners, and it really starts to compute, no pun intended there. How do they resist along with you, Alana?
Yes, thank you for making me clarify. In the last chapter of the book, the conclusion, it's called Remaining Human. And when I sat down to write that chapter, I really thought I could write a book on that very subject, of course, because I know a lot. I've studied many, many things in depth. But I came up with three ideas. And the first one that I concentrated on was to obliterate that idea that we are just human. We are frail, we are egotistical, we are undeveloped, even as adults, etc. The idea that the earth would be better without us. First of all, for the earth and we are like this. There is no possibility that the earth will live without us and we will live without the earth. This is how it is. This is Rudolf Steiner. Well, he says a lot about this. All right, so I try to show how extraordinary we are. Our brain, our just the way our cells work, the fact that when we think we take thinking for granted, but what is thinking? It's actually taking place completely immaterially. A thought is not material. Our thoughts are taking place in another quantum dimension as we're thinking. We are a very magnificent species that Rudolf Steiner actually said is we are the religion of the gods, was the way he put it. In other words, We are a free will creature. We are attempting to live by our free will. It's very hard. We're tempted by this. We're tempted by that. We have weaknesses. We inherit things from our families. We inherit things from our races, our nationalities, our whatever. It's very difficult to be a true human being. If I were to say, has there been a true human being walking the earth? I would have to say that Jesus Christ was certainly one. And I would have to say that some others have been extraordinary in my life. I mean, when I think of Mozart's music, do you know what that has given? Millions of people. So don't tell me that a human being is not worth much and is worth just computerizing them. So I try to do that, to show you extraordinary species. Then I go into diet and very mundane stuff, like sleeping on a bed without metal in it so that you're not picking up the frequencies that are going through your home and you're not being used as an antenna by your neighbor. So there are things we need to know about these invisible technologies now. The nanotech, that's one that I'm very interested in. Can my consciousness overcome the swarm consciousness of the quantum dimension nanotechnology, because it is right at the threshold of the quantum worlds? It is not what you think. It is not just a machine. It has some dimension of consciousness in it, like an AI computer, they're now inventing inorganic life forms. Inorganic life forms. Say that again. So we're living on we have the magnificent opportunity to live on this threshold of change where everything can go bad. But if we stand for our humanity, it won't. It absolutely won't. So that's what I'm inviting people to.
Love it. Love it. Very well said, beautifully said, and a wonderful picture you've painted there. And I concur. There are some very wonderful human beings, the human being has the ability to be extraordinary. Alana, as we wind down, as I've got to make room for the next guest, as we wind down, AlanaFreeland.com, ELANA. Alana Freeland has joined us today. Discuss your truth. Where can listeners, where can viewers and listeners find your material? Where can they buy your latest installment about the Sub Rosa America deep state?
Oh, Sub Rosa America, yes. Well, that is straight from the John Kennedy experience. Yes, John, the Sub Rosa series he's talking about is a fictional approach to America's history since John Kennedy's assassination. And it is about some 60s kids who take the mother road, Route 66, across the Southwest on their way to Dallas to see where John Kennedy was shot down like a dog in Dallas. And it's an extraordinary series encompassing 1,300 pages and 4 books. You can get that on Amazon because I self-published that because I just never knew quite when it was done. And now I know it's absolutely done, has been for several years. And then for this new book, Geoengineered Transhumanism, I'm recommending that people go to the Rudolf Steiner bookstore in Seattle, not to go there on a plane, but just on the internet, and pre-order this book. So far, I think there are over 100 people who've pre-ordered, and everybody's waiting with bated breath, as am I, because my formatter is you know, running into a little bit of a problem and solving things as he goes, and I'm, you know, it should be out by the end of the month.
Fantastic. Okay, so I was slightly confused. Geoengineered transhumanism. When you had joined me about 6 months ago, you were still working on that book, and now it's ready for print. So clarification,
yes,
on that. Wonderful news, Alana.
Yes.
Some final words for listeners before we go.
I feel that this, I feel so fortunate to be alive now because I remember in the 60s people were saying, wow, the establishment's going to come down and we need to start saving lentils and brown rice in the basement and water. And I would say to them, it's not going to happen that fast. It's got to go through more paces. And I can't believe that I was able to stay alive long enough to be able to fight this tremendous war that's going on right now, a spiritual war for the future of humanity. That's what it is, completely. And it's biological and it's geographical, it's geomagnetic, it's on all levels. And I'm about to translate that language into Steiner language and start talking about the assault on the etheric, because the ether was banned by the U.S. government in science in the 1920s. And Einstein had used that word very well before, and now he had to stop using it, as did other scientists. And it is really what we're experiencing now is a tremendous assault on the Earth's etheric and on the human etheric. And I won't take the time to explain that. I do go into it in this book. There is some esoterica in this book, so that people who hunger for that, for another way of looking at all of this materialistic approach to technology, to understand that when Paul in the New Testament said we deal not with men but with powers and principalities, he was absolutely right. We are now dealing with powers and principalities, and so we must gird up our loins and be the spiritual species that we truly are.
Wonderful. Ladies and gentlemen, Alana Freeland. Alana, thank you for joining the show, and I look forward to reconnecting with you.
Okay, thank you so much.
Alana Freeland and AlanaFreeland.com. Look, we're going to make way for Joe right now, and just a wealth of information. I wanted to get into Qualcomm, and we touched. I think we touched the surface of a lot of the kind of issues that are prevalent in today and that are of concern. I've got Ola Damigard contacting me, and I've got Etienne de la Boti contacting me. And as a matter of fact, I've got a publicist out of LA that had contacted me during all during that call. Very interesting, all during that call. So, making way for Joe. I'll be right back. Thanks for tuning in. This is Ian Trottier for Discussions of Truth.